is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 140, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, cleanse me from my sin and what follows. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, of which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 53. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of a soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, everlasting, unchangeable, everywhere present, all-knowing, a merciful and good-doing God, then by renewal on this day, then we as a people, then we attempt to approach unto thee with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. Then we have already sung together with the psalmist, God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. That is a prayer that we must learn here below. Wilt thou teach it in this evening hour to the unconverted? And may it be a renewed prayer in the lives of thy children. Then we may thank thee for the many blessings which thou hast left amongst us, and which thou so richly and liberally bestows, and that in a difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, O Lord. May it then be the goodness of the Lord, the riches of his goodness, of his long-suffering, and of his forbearance, that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow, that worketh a repentance, and not to be repented of. Lord, we need to be saved. By nature we are lost. And now the wonder that thou art still gathering a church unto thyself. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy special help, thy special favor, and thy special presence. Ah, may it be an unforgettable evening hour. Leave us not cold, untouched, and unrenewed in our bench. What shall it be if we have to go lost under such a precious proclamation? And now, Lord, then in this evening hour, then we are called to examine each our hearts. When thou shalt grant it on the coming Lord's day, then the holy supper of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in our midst. Wilt thou remember the unconverted? Ah, Lord, use it. that they may be placed in their guilt, and that they may be given to cry unto thee for thy mercy. It is still the day of grace. Thou art still gathering thy church. Wilt thou spare that we deceive not our poor souls? Because, Lord, we need a wedding garment, not of our own making. There is one thread of self, then we cannot appear before thy judgment seat. But we need that wedding garment, which has been merited by thy dear Son, and which is granted by the Holy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Thou knowest who have come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. There is little faith, and there is strong faith. And then also in a week of preparation, then the storms, the winds, the billows, they can come upon us, that we are afraid to perish. Then there can be those assaults of the Prince of Darkness upon our little ship, whether it is indeed right between thee and our soul. Lord, when the billows come, may that also be for the profit of thy children, and may they be given to cry unto thee, and that it may please thee to rebuke the wind and command the sea to become a calm, and that thy people may be given to bewonder the goodness of the Lord. It can be in the week of preparation. Thou can also use the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to that end. Thou hast instituted the same for the strengthening of the faith of thy children, and to declare thy great love, and then the necessity of the application of the Holy Spirit. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, and that it may be experienced, that it may be a Bethel indeed, the house of the Lord. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Remember the consistory, each in their respective office, who is sufficient unto these things. May the manifold labors be blessed for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers as they have promised with the baptism of their children, to instruct them in the aforesaid doctrine. May it be accompanied with prayer, with sincerity, and with a godly example. Remember our Christian school. We commend unto thee the school board. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to and fro? Remember the administration. Wilt thou help all the teachers with those that stand at their side, with their responsible, and may it be a joyous task. Wilt thou remember all the students? The one has received more talents than another. May they, with thy help, and also asking of thee, be given to use those talents above all. And may thy word be blessed, that thy kingdom may come, that thou may work from generation to generation. We commend unto thee the young couple who has been united in holy matrimony in the past week. They have begun life's journey together. Bless them and make them a blessing for one another. By renewal, we commend unto thee the father who had a serious surgery, who may return home, well, to grant further strengthening and healing, and impress upon his mind and the mind of those that are near and dear unto him, that it was an extension, but an extension is only for a time. By renewal, we commend unto thee all the afflicted ones, all under the physician's care. May it please thee to bless the means and sanctify the callings. Well, thou comfort the mourning ones. Be mindful of the elderly ones. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and daughters. Be mindful of the member under censure. Lord, we commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Wilt thou uphold the persecuted church? Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, our mission field. Wilt thou help thy servants and help also the team, that thy word may bring forth a manifold fruit. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth. Remember also this country that has departed so far from thy word and from thy law, the unborn are daily murdered, the Lord's day desecrated, the seventh commandment no longer honored and trampled upon, the crown has fallen from her head. Woe unto thee that we have sinned. We commend unto thee all those in high authority, in different capacities. They all have a soul that needs to be saved, the same as for us and our children. Remember the Supreme Courts. Then we commend unto thee those upon the face of the earth, in different countries, in different capacities, who may have respect for thy holy word, and striving to uphold the same, in different places where the great ones of this earth may gather, then we humbly ask thee, that thou may encourage them, that thou may strengthen them in the midst of all the opposition, and that the efforts, that they may be blessed. Lord, remember us now in this evening hour. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Open thy precious testimony. Grant the leading of thy Spirit. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? Wilt thou remember all those that could not gather, that could not come up to thy house because of lawful reasons, they are known unto thee. O wilt thou grant them a Sabbath day blessing, also when they may listen along. But, O Lord, do remember each and every one that has come up, so many souls traveling to a never-ending eternity, each Lord's day, that thou granteth unto us that is a soul's mark a day. And when each Lord's day is past, another Lord's day less, wilt thou bind the seriousness, the solemnity, and the reality of life upon all our hearts. Wilt thou grant unto thy Zion a storming of the throne of grace, a wrestling with thee, that in the latter days it may please thee in thy mercy to pour upon us and our children a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, and there can be so much, the tiredness of the body, the wandering, the worldly thoughts, the buying and selling temporally and spiritually. May it please thee to bind the Satan. And then, Lord, by renewal in this evening hour, then we have to confess that we have no merits. Our sins are great. They are manifold. May there be burdened souls. We need to be delivered. We need to be saved. May we be given to plead on thy mercy, O Lord. May it please thee to look in mercy upon us and our children, poor sinners, that need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon us of all of our iniquities, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 47, the stanza 7 through 10. Unnumbered foes would do me wrong. They press about me, fierce and strong. A like beast of prey, their rage they vent. My courage fails, my strength is spent. And what follows? Psalter 47, the stanza 7 through 10. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 15, the question and answers 37, 38, 39, and 40. Question 37. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer. That he all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul, the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, that so by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer. That he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Question 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer. Yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God thus far. Lord's Day number 15 speaks of the profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. With four thoughts in the first place, the extent of the suffering. In the second place, the purpose for this suffering. In the third place, the judgment concerning this suffering. And in the fourth place, the curse in this suffering. The profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the extent, the purpose, the judgment, and the curse. Beloved congregation, it is in the providence of the Lord that we have come to Lord's Day number 15. When we consider the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, the signs of the broken bread and the poured out wine, then our children know what those signs point to, that the broken bread that points to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken in the way of suffering and in the way of his death, and the poured out wine to the blood which the mediator has shed. And now, Lord's Day number 15, that speaks of these matters. It is the explanation of the beginning of the fourth article of the Apostles' Creed. And now in an hour of preparation, then we must examine our hearts very carefully Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Whether by the work of the Holy Spirit, whether we have received a knowledge of the matters declared in this Lord's Day, when we consider the profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Lord's Day, then we are called upon to examine our hearts, whether by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, whether there has come a need in our heart for that suffering and for that satisfaction. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has come upon this world to save the chiefest of sinners. And now, congregation, have you now ever become a sinner? Have you become a great sinner? Have you learned to weep those bitter tears on account of your sins? Because if that has never taken place, what must we then do with it, Jesus? That was the question of Pontius Pilate when they have brought Jesus unto him. Then he has said, what must I do with Jesus? But now the Lord has a people upon the earth where the Lord has turned their little ship around, where they have been drawn by the cords of love, and that shall become manifest in our life, in the way of walk, and at the Lord's time, in the way of confession. Then that people of God, then they shall experience His goodness. Then they shall experience that they have sinned against His goodness. And then they shall be busy trying to please the Lord. But now when their little ship, when the Lord comes with a great storm of His wrath, that they are ready to sink, then that storm, then all their paining, that they have tried to repair their little ship, so to say, with their reformation and with their good works, then it shall all be uncovered. I read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find a greater abomination. Oh, then the church shall learn that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And then how necessary and how precious Lord's Day number 15 becomes. And now the faith of a child of God, all many assaults, can be in a week of preparation that the storms do come. And then they need the Lord to calm those storms. And now it has pleased the Savior in His unfathomable love. Because I read in Psalm 103, verse 14, that He knoweth our frame, He knoweth that we are dust. Then He has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for the strengthening of faith. Thus, congregation, before we begin with the explanation, let me then ask you, have you ever become a great sinner in the sight of a holy, a just, and a good-doing God, that in truth and uprightness that you have been given to beg for mercy, that you have learned that you can never save yourself, that you are a sinner still. Oh, in Lord's Day number 15, there a special answer is given to the question in Lord's Day number 5. Question number 12. Since then, by the justice of God requires that he punishes sin temporally and eternally. Is there then a way that I may escape this punishment and be restored into favor? God will have his justice satisfied, and this satisfaction must be made by us or by another. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth by the uncovering and by the instruction of the Holy Spirit that these matters that they are learned, and then how necessary and how precious the mediator becomes, oh, in the way of his suffering and of his death. Oh, in this evening hour, have there come souls up with a burden of their sin, oh, under the storm of God's wrath, and that you have learned that you could not save yourself. Oh, souls that have learned that we have not a penny to pay, but that we only add to that guilt. Oh, then in this evening hour, then it may be declared, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, that may be declared with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, with the signs and with the seals of the covenant. Oh, the love of Christ, that he was willing to come upon this world, that he was willing to suffer, that he was willing to die, and congregation for who? For a people that have left him in paradise, that have committed the greatest treason, that have transgressed all the commandments of the Lord. Oh, the wonder of grace, and in the life of a child of God, that wonder only becomes greater. Oh, congregation, what precious things are declared in this Lord's Day. And then in question 37, then there is asked, what dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Thus in this Lord's Day, that speaks of a step of his humiliation, because when we consider the states of Christ, that speaks of the relationship in which he has stood to the justice of his Father, and in the state of his humiliation, oh, the willing Savior, that he was willing to take all the black sins of his church upon him. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die. What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer, that he, that is the Son of God, who has assumed our human nature, as we have heard in Lord's Day number 14, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, thus then the instructors, then they are given to speak, and not only of the suffering at the end of his life, oh, it is true, they have emphasized it, but especially at the end of his life, nevertheless, that he, all the time that he lived upon the earth. Oh, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of men, they are also called to suffer much. What a suffering there is upon the world. If we could gather in this very day all the tears that are wept, oh, what a river it would be. And why is there so much suffering upon the face of the earth? Because we have left the Lord. We have broken the covenant, thus because of our actual sins. And that suffering is only multiplied greatly because of our actual sins. Oh, concerning a people, read the scriptures, consider the history of the children of Israel when they have left the Lord, when they have bowed down to their idols, when they have committed transgressions, then their suffering has greatly increased. Think, when they were carried into captivity, and now the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born sinless, and yet under the consequences of sin. Oh, then the instructors, they say that he, all the time that he lived on earth, oh, each footstep, to say it so reverently, that was for the welfare of his church. He was given to do the will of his Father, as I read in John 4, verse 34. He was given to glorify his Father. Oh, his Father has given him a great work to do. He was given that the church may be saved, that there may be sons and daughters who would be given to praise the Lord. Oh, young and old, has it become our concern that we may be among that number? By nature we are lost under the wrath of God, traveling on that broad way. Oh, may that reality, may that penetrate into many hearts, that we may be given to experience and to cry that we are lost indeed, and to be given to cry for mercy, oh, in this Lord's day, that it may be declared that great multitude of the tender mercies of the Lord, that there is a way that we may be pardoned from all our sins. But young and old, it needs to be experienced. We need to learn that we need that Savior. He needs to become necessary. And oh, for that church, how adorable and how precious he becomes when the church may be given to behold him in the way of suffering, but not only at the end of his life, all the days of his life. Oh, he was willing to be born in a stable. He has experienced, as the creator of the heavens and of the earth, that there was no room in the promised land. He was exiled into Egypt on account of the enmity of Herod. Oh, in that way, he was given to mention a place for the church. Oh, there was much poverty. Think of 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. There it is declared, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. Oh, in that humble upbringing, what the Son of God has experienced. He was the Holy Child, and no original and no actual sin. And then he has experienced that his Father's name was not used reverently, has seen that his Father's day was desecrated later in his Father's house, and that it has become a house of buying and selling. Oh, the Savior, and then all the days of his life, and then there were none that fully understood him, why he has come and that is to save the chiefest of sinners. Oh, for the Son of God, for us, the future is hidden, unless it pleases the Lord unto his church to reveal a little, as he has done in the life of Abram and in the life of other saints. But for Christ, all the days of his life, then before him was the cursed cross, and that there would come the appointed day that he would be lifted up off of the earth, that he would be nailed to that cursed cross. Oh, for the Son of God, then he was not accepted. He was the gift of the Father. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, then think of his disciples. They would eventually flee. One of his disciples, a Judas, would betray him. Thus, congregation, then how true it is, so scriptural, in so many ways. What do we understand by the words he suffered? That he, all the time that he lived upon the earth, oh, he has experienced the unbelief of the Jewish people. They have sought to catch him in his words. Different times he had to escape out of their hands. But not only all the time that he lived on earth. Oh, when we think of that suffering, it was by his family. Do we not read in the beginning that his brethren believed not in him? It was by the Jewish people, the chosen people of the Lord, he would experience the enmity of the Romans. Oh, a Judas that has betrayed him. But now it is emphasized. But especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul, the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. Our second thought, the purpose for this suffering. And then when we read against the sins of all mankind, then we do not read for all mankind, because Christ has come for his people and for his sheep. Do I not read in Matthew 1 verse 21, his name shall be called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. He sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learns something of the wrath of God against their sins, and how terrible that wrath is. Then the church shall learn that they cannot exist before the justice of God, because he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Oh, to sustain that wrath, there is no mortal human being that is able to sustain that wrath. And yet, congregation, if we and our children have to go lost, then we shall have to sustain that wrath and not to be able. Oh, the worm that shall never die, the fire that shall never be quenched, may that reality be impressed upon our hearts. Young and old, we need to be saved. We need to be saved through this precious mediator. Oh, what a wonderful message that may be proclaimed in this evening hour, that the Son of God, oh, what a love and what a willingness, that as the servant of the Father, that he was willing to be humbled so low, that he was willing to suffer, that he was willing to bear the wrath, and that for a people that has sinned everything away. that so by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, that is a big word, boys and girls, that word means to appease, to make peace, to satisfy, to reconcile. Thus that speaks of two parties, a holy and a justice God, just God, and a poor condemned sinner, and a sinner that cannot appear before the Lord. Then this Lord's Day may speak of the mediator, and children, you can remember what a mediator is. That is one that brings two parties that are so far apart together. And now in this Lord's Day, it may be in a way of justice. Oh, in Christianity, there is spoken much of the Savior, but let us remember that Christ shall be revealed unto his church from behind justice. The church shall experience that justice must be satisfied. Oh, the church shall learn that they can never appease, that they can never make peace because of all their sins, and that they daily increase their debt. But now in this Lord's Day, oh, it may speak of that precious Savior that was willing to suffer, that was willing to die, that was willing to be the substitute, that was willing to bear the wrath of God. He might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. There we have a congregation. We need to be delivered from everlasting damnation. Oh, what solemn words. Or have we become so used to them that we are no longer shocked? Oh, that we can so easily say that we are unconverted, that we are lost, that we are traveling to hell, and that we are no longer troubled, and that we are no longer shocked. Ah, oh, may the Lord by his Spirit, may sinners be awakened in this very evening hour to understand that in our natural state, that we are lying under the wrath and the curse of a just and everlasting God, and we need to be saved. But my unconverted fellow travelers, oh, it may still be declared that there is a way to be saved. Ah, the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn. If it is possible for them, then there are no impossible cases, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin and obtain for us three matters. And those are three matters that the church needs, the church desires, and the church prays for. And then the instructors, they have in the first place mentioned the favor of God. Oh, each time by renewal, then the instructors, they separate the precious from the vile, because there are many, oh, in a certain sense all, would like to go to heaven. But my unconverted fellow travelers, when we have never tasted of the good things of the Lord, what shall we then do in heaven? But now the Lord has a people. Ah, then I hear the psalmist in Psalm 106, verse 4, remember me with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, are there souls in my midst that have learned to beg for the favor of the Lord, that has become the most important? Ah, that you need the Lord and to experience that blessed communion. And when the Lord works, then the church shall experience much of that favor and be given to beg more of that favor. But then the church needs more than favor, because the church learns that sin has to be paid for. The church learns that justice must be satisfied. And therefore the instructors, They have added righteousness. And then finally, all for the church of God. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, through his suffering, he has bore the wrath of God. He has opened the way to the Father, heart of the Father, and therefore obtained for them eternal life, young and old. How stands the matter, traveling to that never-ending eternity? Oh, in an hour of preparation, then we are called to examine ourselves, and that is an examination for each and every one of us. What have we learned of these matters? Have we become a poor sinner? Have we needed the favor of the Lord? Have we needed righteousness? Oh, with a prayer that we may have eternal life, because that eternal life that begins here below, only a small beginning. And now concerning those matters, then for the true child of God to examine themselves, how far they have come concerning the Lord's Supper, then Christ has declared, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, of a suffering and death declared in the broken bread, the poured out wine, oh, for the strengthening of their faith. In Lord's Day number 30, question and answer number 82, the purpose of the Lord's Supper for the child of God, that their faith may be strengthened and their lives more holy. Let us first sing a Psalter 440, the stanzas 1 and 3. In my grievous tribulation, hear my cry and supplication. O my God, who hearest prayer, look on me in all my care. And what follows, Psalter 440, 1 and 3. the profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the extent, the purpose, and now thirdly, the judgment concerning this suffering. And then the Lord willing, perhaps the last question concerning that curse, we can add it to Lord's Day number 16 when it speaks about the necessity of his death. And then there is asked, why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer, that he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. We read in Romans 13 that government and judges, they are powers ordained of God. And then Pontius Pilate was used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord, did not take away the responsibility of the judge, because the decree and purpose of the Lord, that was hidden for him. That Christ was brought to the cross, that he was given to die a threefold death. And now concerning the riches, that he has suffered under Pontius Pilate, then we must place before you two different court cases. Then in the first place, then we must mention Pontius Pilate. Then Christ, he was arrested by filthy hands, by the Romans and by the Jews. And then he was brought, so to say, from one courthouse to another. When he was arrested by the Roman soldiers, then he was brought to the house of Annas, the former high priest. He was brought to the house of Caius, the high priest. And then in those courts, in those pronouncements, then they have sought false witnesses, but then each time by renewal, then it has become evident, very evident, that the Son of God, that he was innocent. In the early morning hour, he was brought before Pontius Pilate. They have asked him for accusations, but it became clear that there was no guilt with Jesus, the Son of God. He was brought to Herod because he was of the jurisdiction of Galilee. He was returned to Pontius Pilate. And then how many have confessed that Jesus was innocent? Oh, Judas, I have betrayed innocent blood. The wife of Pontius Pilate have nothing to do with this just man, because I have suffered many things in my dreams. Then upon his Pilate, he has washed his hands to declare that he was innocent of this just man. Then there have been more testimonies around the death and after the death of Christ that Jesus was innocent. But now, the innocent Lamb of God, the Son of God, oh, the judge has pronounced, I find no guilt in this man, that he was innocent, and yet the judge has given him over to be crucified. Oh, then judicially, then the Son of God, before the justice of his Father with all the sins of his church. To that end, he was led to the cross. And now in that way, the instructors are given to answer, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we are exposed. And now another court case. A sinner, a guilty sinner, a lost sinner, that is arrested by the irresistible and loving work of the Holy Spirit. Then with such a one, then a cord is set up in his conscience. Then he has to do with a righteous judge. And then a sinner, then he is also brought from one commandment to another. And then with each commandment, then it is declared very guilty, guilty of death. Then the sinner is examined concerning all his blessings. And the sinner has to confess that he has sinned it all away. Concerning providential trials, concerning the callings, concerning the word of God, then each time it is pronounced that the sinner is very guilty, that he is guilty of death, because the wages of sin is death. And now when the sinner, when he is brought before the judge, before justice, a perfect justice, oh, Satan accuses, his conscience testifies that it is so, worthy of death. And now the eternal wonder, our instructors speak, might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God. No, then in a life of a sinner, then sin is not overlooked. It is not said that a sinner is not guilty. He is guilty of a threefold death, guilty of everlasting punishment. But now, were the Son of God, where he has become the substitute, oh, wonder of wonders, do we not read in Job 33, the verses 23 and 24, whether there is an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, and then it is declared that he is gracious unto him, and he saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. That is now the wonder that is declared also in this Lord's day. Oh, he was judged with the sin of his children. He has stood before the judge. He had no sin of his own, but because of the sins of his people, he was led to the cross. He was crucified. That of people, that of nothing, that of nothing but sin, that have learned that they are very guilty, then they may be freed. And now, the Lord's Supper, that is given to declare the wonders of Lord's Day number 14, all was suffering and a dying Savior, the love of Christ for his people, that he was willing to come, that he was willing to suffer, that he was willing to die. But it is a Savior also in the way of application. The Spirit worketh that faith, and concerning that faith, what if storms can come upon their little ship? What a waves, what a wind, what a tempest. They can be tossed to and fro, can be times that the child of God knoweth it no more, but that in the midst of the storm that they are given to beg, they are given to cry, people of God. May the Lord grant that begging, oh, to experience those three matters. That is the desire of the true church of God. Oh, the favor of God. Oh, in a week of preparation, what a privilege and what a blessing it is to receive tokens of His favor. But now concerning that righteousness, no righteousness of mine own, concerning justification, but now to be instructed, to receive the strengthening of faith and that eternal life that beginneth here below. Sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, that it may please the Lord in His great mercy on the coming Lord's Day to manifest unto His people in His great tender mercy what is declared in Lord's Day number 15, and to receive the strengthening of faith. Christ has said unto His church, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please Thee to grant the application that we may return to our dwellings and that we may examine our hearts very closely, how it stands traveling to that never-ending eternity. O Lord, may it please Thee to convert what is unconverted. We are still in the precious day of grace. Wilt Thou remember Thy children? May there be no resting outside of that only name, the name of Jesus, which Thou wast given under heaven, whereby we may and must be saved. Ah, Lord, wilt Thou grant unto Thy people those exercises, a life bound at the throne of grace, give a prayer for one another. Wilt Thou to that end return us to Thy house for a weekday service? Wilt Thou grant a word to speak? Wilt Thou bless the manifold labors? Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches, the fathers at work. Remember on the road. Wilt Thou remember at school? Wilt Thou keep from harm and danger? Keep us under Thy kind care and protection. Keep us from an unexpected and above all, from an unprepared death. Wilt Thou keep us from sin and temptation, grant in the day of tomorrow, that we may take up the labor of our hands. May we be found good stewards of what Thou hast entrusted unto us. Wilt Thou remember the many cares and the many needs. Give a heart to acknowledge Thee, what Thou wast given in this day. Wilt Thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks and bless His name. His loving kindness changes not, from age to age the same. And what follows, Psalter 290, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.